Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
Sentiment might be a little shaky in markets as we near the G20 summit and the end of the first half of the year. But so far, the month of June was actually one of notable recoveries for markets across the ASEAN space. Now, count Philippine markets among those seeing a better June, with the PSE rising by more than 100 points since this middle of the month. With the PSE looking set to close with a respectable 7% gain over the year, can Philippine markets, that is, carry this momentum heading into the second half of the year? Well, today on Across the ASEAN, we're joined from Manila by Luis Limlingan. He's a managing director at Regina Capital, to get his thoughts. Luis, good evening and welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening, JT.
Okay, so Luis, the other thing that the Philippine markets or the PSE has done so far is that they've also hurdled this psychological level of 8,000 successfully over the last couple of days. Do you think it has successfully hurdled this? And do you think that they'll be able to sustain this particular level heading into the second half of the year?
I think right now we're still trying to hurdle it. In fact, if you were tracking the performance this afternoon, we did slump with the rest of Asia, so we fell, I think, around 22 points. And it's been trading sideways. We've been trying to break past 8,000. I think every time it hits close to 8,200, which was near the one of the highest for the year, we've succumbed to some profit taking. So it's taking, there's a bit of momentum, but still we're not yet above that hurdle yet.
One thing, though, we've also noticed with markets, though, despite the fact that the PSE is up more than 7% year-to-date, we've seen fund flows, although they're starting to come back into ASEAN markets, they're still net negative for the second quarter in the Philippines. How are local counterparts taking or looking at the trend that foreign funds are still net negative on Philippine equities for the second quarter?
Well, you have to isolate some of these, even with net foreign selling. For example, I think for one, there was the MSCI rebalancing, and then there's the FTSE rebalancing. So obviously, that's going to be net negative if you put those two. And then there was a sell, or rather, I think Mitsubishi was selling their stake from Ayala Corp. So that contributed to the net foreign selling. So if you look at it and take that out of the picture, I think it is more skewed to the buy side. So that's how we're viewing it. Other thing is probably, well, I would have expected, of course, it would be more on the positive, but as far as the first quarter earnings were going, I think it was a bit more disappointing than usual, given that we had a high base from inflation last year. It was election season, and a lot of the consumer companies didn't perform as expected because, again, that's where a lot of the growth is coming from, since 80% of the economy gets its growth from the consumer sector.
All right, we're still speaking to Luis Limlingan, a managing director out at Regina Capital in Manila, for his outlook on Philippine markets. Of course, Luis, we can't leave you without asking about how investors out in the Philippines are viewing the trade war and the upcoming G20 summit out in Osaka, Japan. It's the first time that the U.S. and China will speak after talks broke down in May. How are markets in Manila viewing the trade war at the moment? And where do you think? What do you think are the best and worst case scenarios for markets after the G20 summit?
Well, I think, like all the regional counterparts, I think the Philippines would just want, equal access and free trade as far as all economies goes, because at least you want to maintain the status quo rather than then have this escalate. And as you said, if it's a worst-case scenario, you know, the U.S. is going to impose, tariffs on $300 billion worth of goods, and then China's going to retaliate, and it's going to go back and forth, and you don't want that to happen because, you know, it could escalate. And from a trade war, it's sort of migrated and evolved into a tech war, which is even harder to calculate because this goes with technology now. At least if it was a trade war, you could sort of calculate it's easier to quantify how much risk is on the table, but now if it's escalating, and who knows where it could evolve or mutate from there. So yeah, this is what nobody wants, this to spiral out of control. So yeah, imagine this wasn't an issue at the beginning of the year because they thought it was all resolved in 2018, and now, you know, it's back on the table. So this got, you know, everybody spooked.
Okay. Nevertheless, Luis, what is Regina Capital's outlook in the second half for the PSE? As we know, up by about 7% so far. Do you think that the momentum will carry over? And if so, what sectors do you think might yield more positives for markets over there?
Right now, we think, we want to maintain a more bullish outlook, I think, moving into the second half. It stalled. Actually, looking at the performance, we do acknowledge that we grew 7%, but that happened in the first month of the year. So for between Feb and June, it's actually been trading sideways, and people are investors are getting, not just tense, but I think they want to already start making big moves as to which are going to be the next sectors that are going to break out. So there's a lot to look forward to, I think, heading into the second half of the year. I guess one is the rate cuts. Second is the impact of inflation. And again, I think there's a higher base effect coming from last year from inflation, because during the third quarter, we did hit close to 7%. If I'm not mistaken, it was around 6.7%. So this might have an effect. I think as far as the Philippines is concerned and how we're different from other economies, is that we are net importers. And we import close to 100% of our oil requirements. So I think the catalyst here to watch is what will be the price of oil in the second half. And we think it's still going to be contained below $60, which would be good for the economy. And if that happens, I think you can see that the growth numbers will be preserved moving into the second half of 2019.
And, of course, that brings us into focus upcoming OPEC meeting next week into focus also, given how important oil is to the Philippine economy. We'll have to leave it there. Luis Limningan, Managing Director at Regina Capital, thank you so much for joining us today on Across the ASEAN to give us your take on Philippine markets.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.